I'm Chris Lindstrom, and this is the Food About Town podcast.
Rochester? Well, why Rochester?
Chris Lindstrom was a hoot. He was just so much fun. He never stopped talking. I mean, it was great.
Here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
And we don't need any characters around to give the joint atmosphere. Is that clear?
Because I'm a pro. That's what pros do. I'm a professional. Look it up in the book.
But now, yeah, I'm thinking I'm back.
And we are back with another episode of the Food About Town podcast. And we're here doing a hybrid episode with Refined Taste with Dario.
Hey, it's
and
me.
Chris Thompson.
You're...
I really want to say that more often, but I'm going to leave that
know.
To you.
I don't know if you should.
That's right. I'm going to leave that to
saying.
You.
I don't even feel like I should, and I just did.
Yeah, you're like 70 years old, right, Chris?
So. I'm 70 years old. I'm not from New York. I'm from Baltimore. I shouldn't be saying that. I should be like, hey, yo. But here we are.
Well, on that note, we're here for the yearly RCR Rochester Cocktail Revival preview. And to do that, we're here with one of the newest event partners for this year's event. We're here with Jack's Extra Fancy. Guess why don't you introduce yourselves?
Hi, I am Kelly McDonald. I am the executive chef at Jack's Extra Fancy.
And I'm Dan Herzog. I'm the bar manager at Jack's Extra Fancy.
Yay, board, fun, hitting buttons. So how long has Jack's Extra Fancy been open?
Almost 6 months now. So
jeez, it's already almost 6 months.
Yeah.
December 16th was our first day.
Nice. Congrats.
Yeah, that's super exciting. I mean, this was... So for everybody that is looking to see where Jack's Extra Fancy is, it's at 825 Atlantic Avenue in the space of what used to be Jack Ryan's. So before we dive into all of the RCR shenanigans and your fantastic tiki event and all the others that you're hosting at Jack's, why don't you talk about what is Jack's Extra Fancy and what should people expect from the place?
So Jack's Extra Fancy, we opened it up with like trying to keep a little bit of an homage to like Jack Ryan's and like taking that community feel and like trying to be a neighborhood establishment to give back to the community.
Yeah, it's a calm, relaxed little spot for a gathering 4 nights a week. We're open Thursday through Sunday. We do brunch a couple days a week, just trying to keep it very neighborhood oriented. You know, we just opened our patio, so you can stop in and get out real quick and, you know, maybe run into a couple neighbors.
Yeah, the patio looks good.
Yeah, it does. I drove by there a couple of times.
Yeah, there Thank was, you. Not that I didn't expect it, but you guys put some effort into it, you know? And like some restaurants, you know, like Pizza Wizard.
Rude.
I love you, Pizza Wizard. But and they own it, you know.
See,
they're
now
like,
I gotta go buy some pizza.
Yeah. Well,
they do call it the worst patio in Rochester.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. You got my back, Stromy. They own it, right? But you guys, you know, you didn't just throw some benches and some chairs out there. It looks really nice and it looks welcoming too. So that's great.
Well, and Atlantic's a nice street for that too. Like there is traffic, but it's a nice place to be outside.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a light traffic, so it's not disruptive. You know, it's mostly people just like heading home. Like Dario lives around the corner. So
that's right. Yeah.
You can just like skip on by.
Well, yeah, if I didn't have a 2-month-old, but yeah, I would be there a lot more often.
I mean, you can bring the kid with you. Just don't give him any beer.
That's right. Yeah. You won't serve him, right, Dan?
No.
Okay.
Only liquor.
If he's crying, give him some whiskey or something.
Just
rub it on the gums.
Yes. Is that how it works?
This is fascinating because one of the last episodes we did with Refined Taste was with Bar Bad Ending. And we're talking about a lot of the same topics with, like, what is Jack's Extra Fancy? Because it's places that people referred to as dive bars before, but now I agree are defined as neighborhood places because it's, you know, executions a little bit nicer, but it's all about being approachable both with drinks and food for everybody in the neighborhood, not just... you know, severe nerds like me, but that at the same time with execution, that makes me happy.
Yeah. I mean, Fred and myself at Fred at Bar Bad Ending and myself fed a couple of chats now about like, you, you can't start off as a dive bar. That isn't anything you get to inherit. You have to, you know, pick a planet demographic, and you can end up as a dive bar if you choose to take a certain path. And that's definitely a valuable part of the hospitality palette. But you don't get to start there. You can't choose that. So we got to. We chose it. To. Yeah.
You can start with neighborhood bar. You can start with intention of being that, of being a place for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that's also where the food menu comes in too, because the menu is meant for everybody to find something they like.
Yeah, we created the menu with trying to do something that's like a little bit more like you can come and have like that share plate experience with people that you want to be out with, people you love, family, friends, whatnot. It's supposed to be like a social experience of all like overall.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we have plates that like range and like specials of going anything from like a sloppy, sexy sandwich to like a pastrami that's like a nice share plate. So if you're like, I want to go out and do like a nice anniversary or something nice. So we're trying to hit like a little bit of like everything around there for our community.
Is that kind of your mentality that where you wanted to make this kind of food too?
Yeah. I mean, my inspirations come from taking things that aren't necessarily like a classic feel, but inspiration off of a classic dish and kind of like spin what I have and like what I'm feeling for that. So,
yeah. Well, and I think the menu also, the bar menu comes into that as well, because I've seen you using some ingredients that like, oh, this is so separate, like using Galliano in like one of your signature cocktails.
Big, big thing in the Galliano.
Like, it was something I'd never really tried, and when I looked in, like, this was huge in, like, the 70s.
Yeah. I don't know. I think Kelly and I both share this sentiment of taking very approachable, easy-to-digest concepts and pushing an interesting, uncomfortable little tidbit in there. Something new that you haven't tried before, a word that you're unfamiliar with, and making the rest of the drink or dish easy to understand, cool when it walks past you on a plate. You're like, what's that? Well, it's actually those four words that you had no idea what they mean. I don't know. Something new to try, because we're always looking for something new to try. So if we can bring that to a convenient location where it's the burden of leaving the house is lower, if you can walk 10 minutes down the block on a sunny, nice day and get this weird thing and go home, like, that's the goal.
Also on that note, we just joined Grubhub, so we are takeout now.
Shout out to Oppressive Corporations. Yay.
We also do our own online ordering as well. So.
So I will say right away, not that you're going to say it, but if you're going to order from a place and you have the opportunity to order from them directly, please do so. Take the onus of picking up your own food so you can keep the margins more in the restaurant and not give them to giant corporations as much as you can. Take the extra 10 minutes to go back and forth and visit the place in person. It matters a lot. And while you're there, grab a little pony of Miller High Life and have yourself a good few minutes to relax before you go home.
Yeah, you're going to save yourself, 18% by stopping by and picking our food up.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, even if you don't care about you guys, care about yourself enough to save the money.
Yeah. Yeah, it is mutually beneficial. And I always take the opportunity to tell people that because it's like, hey, this matters to the restaurant that you show up in person. And helps the places you care about stay open. So please do that if you have the opportunity.
Yeah. Also, if you think about it, the extra $10 or $15 you pay to have it delivered, you can have yourself a nice cocktail.
Absolutely. Nothing wrong with that.
Yes.
And speaking of cocktails, let's dive into, we're going to talk about RCR in detail with all of the mainline events in a little bit. But I wanted to start with, I know you've been around a lot of places that were part of RCR before, Dan. But, what was the onus to, join in on the RCR thing this year? And how did the idea of doing this tiki pairing dinner come about?
I mean, RCR's always been a huge influence on me as a bartender. I did not participate the first year. I was bartending at the time at the Woodcliff Hotel out in Fairport.
Oh, wow. And,
shout out to Woodcliff.
Saw it, I believe, I think it was City Newspaper. I saw it somewhere online that year, that first year. And just got absolutely encapsulated by it and met up with Donnie Clutterbuck a few years later when the Bartenders Guild in Rochester was founded, and just kind of got wrapped up in the whole, you know, this is the one week a year that we can kind of bypass the budget and really dive deep on the weirdest, coolest ideas of the year. So you can, you know, spend all year researching and practicing things and finding things out and then really show them off with this this big open platform. And as it's grown throughout the years, it's definitely developed in, you know, a bunch of different phases and branched out different ways that, like, keep focusing on education first and foremost, and always supporting a really good cause and the Kill This Club partnership there. So, I don't know, RCO has definitely helped develop me and I think a huge number of my coworkers and compatriots.
Yeah, I think there's something about the, you know, having all the events, and it's a different kind of exposure. Like, this is now becoming like one of these signature cocktail events in the United States every year. Like, there's not many that are bigger than this. I mean, it's really Tales of the Cocktail and maybe a couple others, but this is one of the signature cocktail events, you know, anywhere in the country. And the fact that we get to have it in our backyard with our friends that are doing these amazing events and bringing these amazing brands that we get to highlight through these, you know, through all these efforts, I think is really cool. And the fact that you get to do both, hey, highlight some amazing cocktails, but also pair it with food, that's a kind of a fun challenge too.
Yeah, I mean, the kitchen has always been the backbone of RCR. Like, we get to, you know, flaunt some brand partnerships and some money, but all of the coolest events have always been led by the kitchen. They're always, you know, some kind of pig roast luau, or you know, we're doing a crawfish boil and, you know, partnering with like Sazerac rye, things like that. So it's I don't know, it's always been a great opportunity.
Yeah, I think you want to do that because each one complements the other. So when you can get that and people get to experience that, that definitely, it becomes magic inside your mouth.
Yeah. Rochester Cocktail Revival.
Easy, McDonald's.
It's magic inside your mouth.
Title.
Yeah, that's a yeah, t-shirt exactly. Worthy right there.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
I gotta get that on the website.
So let's talk about the mainline event that Jax is hosting, which is Taste of Tiki Pairing Dinner, and that's on June the 4th, which I think is...
That's the second night, right?
Second night, right?
It's Tuesday, yep.
Yep,
yeah. Yep. So that's a Tuesday night, 6 o'clock at Jack's Extra Fancy, and that's sponsored by Rum JM, which is a fantastic rum company. I've got some in my glass right now. It is delightful. Let's talk about what this event is going to be, and let's talk about the... You know, the excitement and the challenges of doing a tiki pairing dinner. So let's start with the drinks, because that's where we're gonna, you know, edge towards. And I see you're doing lots of different styles of tiki cocktails, which that I love the nerdery of tiki stuff when you really dive in.
Yeah, tiki is a huge and broad category. It's covered 60 or 70 years of development history. So we had to chunk it up a little bit in order to make it more digestible. So, you know, we started off with the 1950s and 60s era of tiki, you know, maybe a decade or two into its heyday, where it had started to develop some bars that had some notoriety that were putting things on the shelves in the United States, becoming like household names. You know, these restaurants have been around for 20 years, and their second wave of restaurants inspired by them were starting to open up, so there's kind of a little pop of dishes based on those original places.
I actually got the chance to go to one of the last Trader Vic's in America a couple weeks ago in Atlanta.
Yeah.
So the hotel we were staying at had a Trader Vic's in the basement. It was untouched by time. The entire space down there was still like, you know, red brick everywhere and, you know, glass-filled thing with wood-fired, like, open grills. It was so fascinating to go down and taste those things with, you know, what I would say are not optimal ingredients. They were good, but like, you also now go to modern places that use higher quality rums and higher quality juices and higher quality everything. You get a much better overall cocktail experience, but it was really nice to go to like one of the drivers of that concept in America.
Yeah. So we go from that decade into sort of the Polynesian movement, tiki, the incorporating more diverse ingredients from Southeast Asia, so we can focus on like fresh juices and orgeats and really deep, rich, complicated syrups, things like that. We go from the 50s to the Polynesian to yaki tiki, so yakitori tiki, sort of like Japanese grill inspired. You know, here are the lighter, more wine incorporated sort of tiki cocktails. They kind of get, you know, sort of the tail end of 1980s era, where you have a few more processed syrups, where you're starting to get, you know, preserved juices and things that allow them to come from further away. So you can't always get a pineapple in Rochester, New York in the 70s, but you can get preserved pineapple juice and, you know, go from there, acid adjusted, whatnot. And then we finish off going to the French Creole side of tiki things, which is generally a little more straightforward. You kind of focus on the spirits and back it up with some simple little spice adjustments.
Well, it's kind of interesting, too. I love the idea of, like, oh, this is tiki through the lens of, like, 80s Japan.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, in the end, everybody loves this kind of thing. It's fun. Right there, you know, you're getting these, you know, bright drinks with all the accoutrement and just fun, exciting flavors. But now you're talking also, like, with all these different things, now you're talking about doing a pairing menu with these things with, you know, big rum flavors and, you know, tropical fruits and some sweetness and acidity and spices. What's the fun part about pairing those with food?
So for me, it's the challenge of, so we start off with the 50s, so kind of taking it back to a Trader Vic's feel or Don the Beachcomber, doing a little appetizer, like rumaki. So basically it would be traditionally like bacon around, water chestnut and like chicken liver. So I'm taking a little twist on that and doing, a spiced like chicken liver pate with the watercress, and then doing sugar cane bacon.
Oh, fun.
To make it a little bit of like nice sweetener on it and get that caramelization on the sugar that should pop. So,
oh, that'll be fun.
A little sweet, a little savory. Trying to mix that with his cocktail. So hopefully it works out well.
Do you recommend dipping into the cocktail or not?
I mean, I don't know. That's your own adventure.
Yeah, that's the make your own adventure part of it.
Like, I mean, you take a bite and a drink and
I mean, look, if you pay the dough, you do whatever you want with the food.
Yeah.
Just that's don't true. Throw it.
That's right.
It's fancy there.
Kelly, I just want to, before you go on, I'm interested in like the process of coming up with like these things. And I'm just thinking about, you know, were these like drinks and like food items that you've made in the past? Or did you just like sit down together and be like, okay, we want to do a tiki dinner. How are we going to do this? Did you do research? How did that come to be?
On my end, definitely for the 50s feel, I did a lot of research on like kind of like food that was like a little bit more popular than what can we pick and choose that kind of emulates that time period and then kind of modernize it a little bit and also put our own Jack's flair on it. Yeah. So for me, it's definitely process usually is like what motivates me, what inspires me / research development and what challenges me to do something a little bit different out of my comfort zone.
Cool. So, yeah. What do you like most about like the tiki, just like the vibe and what comes with that?
I'd say definitely a lot of the flavors. I like that and pairings and whatnot. I used to work in doing Latin food at Ox and Stone for about 4 years.
Yeah.
So kind of miss that. You get to play around with tasting dinners or anything like that.
Yeah.
And kind of bring that feeling back and, I enjoy like the different parts of like enjoying and experiencing a different cultural meal, basically.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. I love, I don't know if Shomi and Chris, I don't know if you've noticed, there's been kind of like a movement, I think, of just not being attached to a certain type of food, and that there's like a lot of chefs in like similar to like a, not a elevated restaurant, but they're still like really good chefs, and they're just kind of doing whatever they want to do. Yeah. And I love that, yeah. You know, and like shout out to Pizza Wizard again, you know, they made Greek food one night, you know,
yeah,
they're just doing whatever they want to do. Wildflowers like that. And I love that you guys are doing that too. I went there, one night and I got the fried chicken special.
Yeah.
That was really, really good. And so, yeah, no, I just keep being creative. I just love that. You guys are just going at it. It's great.
Yeah. Well, I think what happens is, I think people sleep on Rochester a lot. They don't realize, like, we're 6 hours away from New York City, but, like, that New York City influence comes in. Everybody comes into New York City. They like New York City for a little bit, and then they move up here. So we get this influence from everywhere. And I don't know what inspired you, Kelly, to, like venture out with your cooking, but, like, I've known you for, God, maybe 10 years?
Yeah, at least a decade.
At least a decade. And, like, I've just seen you, like, grow with, like, your repertoire. I think I said that right. Like
repertoire.
Repertoire. Yeah, I'm the one who's, like, learning French, and I can't say it. It's terrible. But, like, regardless, like, you keep growing and growing, and, like, what you do, and I see all these influences from all these different places. Like you said, you worked at Ox and Stone. I have no idea how many places you've worked in, like, in the last 10 years. But, like, all of these different influences have hit you. And then, you know, we get to see it all at your own spot. So it's, like, really inspiring.
Yeah.
Chris's compliment corner.
I mean, what is? Now is the question.
I love it. Kelly, do you have a rebuttal to Chris?
To Chris's compliment.
Do you accept
a lot of, yeah, I mean, a lot of the stuff that I've experienced in the past of, like, my career, I've taken, and I read a lot. I have a lot of cookbooks. Too many.
There you
actually.
Go. See, that's what I love. Yeah.
So, yeah. But yeah, I do that, and I just like learning. So whatever keeps me moving forward and learning more. And cooking more.
Well, and I think, like, when I look at the Japanese section, like, that's something, when I look at that dish, that is, like, just, that is a lot of research, but a lot of awareness of different ingredients at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, something I've seen very, very rarely here in town, but I've had outside of here, is sea beans and sea grapes, which are just, yep. Just delightful. Those bursts of salinity and this... that little bit of verdant flavor is, yeah. They're so fun to use, but wildly underutilized here.
Yeah. I think for the yaki tiki that we're doing, taking a little bit of traditional, like, yakitori, which is basically grilled bird, doing sections of that, and then mixing that with a little bit of flavor bomb here and there of, like, yeah, like you said, the pop of the sea grape and pickled sea asparagus, basically. Is what it kind of comes off to be.
Yeah, it looks wild. Like, when you see this stuff, you're like, wait, you can eat that?
Yeah.
Would you say it's magic in your mouth?
Absolutely.
All right. I like the flavor bombs too. Like, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
You're just like hitting all the.
I know. We got Don Draper over here. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. One of the other flavors I wanted to highlight in here was pandan, which I saw you're using in the Polynesian thing. Talk about pandan for a second, because it's another flavor that, like, I adore, but is just starting to now be a little more visible here in town.
Yeah, pandan is a sweet, grassy leaf. It has a really heavy, heavy, like, vanilla backbone to it, but it kind of lightens itself in its kind of astringent, like, vegetal. It's not quite bitter, but it's definitely, you know, that earthy, almost tannic, sort of, like, mouthfeel it leaves behind. Pandan's really cool. I first ran across it at a bar in New York called Mace. Mace is one of, like, those big influencer bars in the cocktail scene. back in the 2010s. But it's a really delicious little, like, light touch. It's really easy to overdo pandan flavors, but it's not vanilla. It's not, you know, just another oak influence. It's kind of its own, you know, muted color on your palate, right?
So yeah, and I think in a cocktail with, you know, a rum that has a lot of character and using coconut and grapefruit and all these other things in there, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. When you're talking about pineapple, too, doing acid-adjusted pineapple syrups and, like, that's just, it's all about what is the end result you're trying to get to with these, like, these interesting flavors.
Those are two of the big things to me that make tiki, because there's always that background question, like, what is tiki? What are those guys talking about? Well, one of the two things that tiki is to me is finding the most outrageous flavor that you can find, the most uncomfortable thing, and then bring it back to center. Yeah. So can you find something sharp and bright and wild and mute it with this other ingredient that helps you, you know, make something balanced, as we obsess over in cocktails. But you do that by, I don't know, always being adventurous and always seeking something new. And I think that some food historian is going to correct me here, but tiki is probably the basis of the salt, fat, acid, heat formula, right? At the time that tiki was coming out first, people weren't adding, you know, highly acidic things to their very, very fatty foods. They were muting them with, like, a little bit of wine, and that's it. So, you know, you get to kind of build this big formula on the flavor Bible taste map, right? And
yeah,
the further you spread away in one direction, the harder you have to counter-correct in the other. So.
Yeah, well, and I love that, you know, the analogy, too, and that kind of ties to the, you know, one of the last dishes on here, which is taking some intense flavors and really twisting them into different mm-hmm. formats, which can often be, you know, make an experience really interesting, like making étouffée into beignets and making a custard out of crawfish. Like this is this is an effort that, like, it could go way off the rails if you don't know how to balance flavors in different textures that people are used to.
Yeah, so with that, we're doing trying to hit on textures and different flavors. Basically trying to do more of a sweetened feel of, like, an étouffée, with basically taking the crawfish and some of that and making it into kind of a more slightly sweetened but mostly, like, savory custard for people. And then you get the airiness and, like, flavor of, like, the beignet. So.
Yeah, and that's, like, wholly different textures. Like, for, oh, étouffée, people want that, you know, hard butter and the creamy this.
Yeah.
And crawfish are used to that bite, you know, that, you know, that, you know, shellfish kind of bite, and now in, like, completely different formats.
Yep.
Yeah, that's, I love that kind of thing, because it forces you out of your comfort zone a little bit.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the ones that I was very excited about to do that I thought about first. When we said that we were going to do the pairing dinner, so a little bit of that, yeah, challenge for me, and also get people out of their comfort zone a little bit.
Well, and then bringing some of those, you know, New Orleans flavors in the cocktail as well. I mean, I see Peychaud's bitters. Kind of want to finish off with talking about some of those New Orleans flavors before we go to break. So I see Herb Saint, I see Peychaud's, like, these are, like, real classic, you know, New Orleans flavors in many ways, and French and Creole flavors.
No, I mean, a lot of classic New Orleans dishes are very dairy heavy, very butter heavy, very shellfish heavy. And the texture of the idea of something like a Sazerac or a lot of those old school New Orleans cocktails kind of draws you back to the idea of, like, washing it away, all that fat away on your palate. So, like, when you have something like a custard in your mouth, right, if you have, like, a half-thawed Abbott's frozen custard, what do you want to use to rinse it out of your mouth? How do you wash that down? Can't put a milkshake out there.
I was going to say more custard, but yeah, go ahead. So,
yeah. Chase custard with more custard.
So you sort of have, like, a Creole spice rum Sazerac build, washing that down with, you know, like, a light foam on top just to help, you know, divert where the nose on it's going to go, but they are New Orleans classics for a reason. So.
Yeah. And speaking of classics, we're going to talk about some classic shows and sponsors and we'll be right back.
Hey everyone, this is Dina Jones, one of the founders of Joe Bean Roasters. At Joe Bean, our mission, Coffee That Lifts Everyone, is about giving selling power back to coffee farmers, as well as purchasing power into the hands of our customers. Through our network of farmers, we're able to bring you naturally grown, amazing coffee directly. Our long-term farming partners negotiate pricing based on cost of production, as well as quality of product, not on fluctuating, unpredictable market prices. This enables them to create thriving businesses with bright futures. And our customers get empowered knowing exactly who grows their coffee and how, as well as knowing they are a part of a new, sustainable, global coffee network. To try our coffee, go to JoeBeanRoasters.com and be sure to check out our Perpetual Joy coffee subscription to receive a rotating selection of single-origin coffee delivered right to your door. Thank you to all our Rochester friends who have supported us and our farming partners so wonderfully over the years. You are making a difference with every bag.
Hello, listeners. This is Richard B. Colon reminding you all to check out the Behind the Glass Gallery podcast hosted by myself and Kwajay Donnell. Every month, we interview the latest First Friday featured gallery artists and dive deep into their passion, drive, and motivation beyond what they display on our gallery walls each month in downtown Rochester, New York. So please, if you haven't yet, subscribe and give us a listen. Also, don't forget to check out our monthly artist receptions every first Friday of the month from 6 to 8 p.m. 240 East Main Street at the Mercantile on Main. Hoping to see you all behind the glass.
And yes, I do have a face for radio, and we are back talking about Rochester Cocktail Revival 2024, starting on June the 3rd, running all the way through the weekend. I think we're going to do a little roundup of some of the mainline events, where they're located, and what you should expect. So we're going to start with what is now one of the new mainline events, which is the RCR Launchpad Party, which is on June the 3rd at Essex. This is in addition to some of the big tasting events where new brands that are in Rochester, people have a chance to go taste those. That's $25, and you can go in and kind of hang around and then do the Ziggy's daiquiri competition, which I think this is the finals of that. I know they've been holding those over there with Pat Stetzel and some of my friends judging those. So that'll be a good old time. Essex is an interesting venue for this. You really get to go around and taste and talk to people who are representing these brands and do that. I always think it's a good opportunity to taste stuff too and really sit there. I love going to those because I get to taste everything. Yes, please do use the spit buckets. You have to drive. This is a force of habit at this point for me because it's a long day if you don't. And speaking of a long day, there's also the Kentucky Garden Party. So this is a little earlier in the week now. This is over at the George Eastman Museum. This is one of the fancy events where, you know, you can dress up.
Right, Chris? We love that one.
Oh, we can't wait. cannot wait.
This is the Chris Thompson event where get to dress up, do all that.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
We're all waiting with bated breath to see what Chris is going to wear.
I put my spats on 1 foot at a time, just like everyone else.
Remember, year, another dude was wearing the same shirt as you.
Yeah, he's dead now.
He was found in a gutter. Yeah.
I don't know what happened. It looks like he fell in on the street multiple times.
Let me see if I can share that. I'll find it. I'll share.
No one's allowed to color coordinate as much as me.
That's right.
I think it's Kentucky Derby theme too.
Yeah.
That's wild. I don't even know. Oh no! Should
floral and linen.
What
floral
if I dress up linen. Like a lawn jockey?
Boy, you're really gonna make people uncomfortable, aren't you, Chris?
Yep.
We
kind of talk about George Eastman's hiring practices.
I would show up and document that you walking around doing that.
If you don't think I'm about to look up a red blazer.
Oh, God.
I do have riding boots. This can happen.
Yes.
Well, and speaking of quality representation, you can also go to the DEI Over Cocktails event.
Ooh, held our
by
friends.
Yeah, held by our friends Sid Bell and Maya Johnson Dunn from New York Kitchen. They're doing a this is part of the seminar series for either people in the industry or people that are able to go out during the day. This is a Jackrabbit Club free entry. You can talk about DEI and cocktails and, you know, making sure you have a equitable workplace for everybody involved. And they do a great job talking about this stuff as well. They're absolutely fantastic. Go listen to the Refined Taste episode with them. It was a blast.
Yes, please do.
Yes.
So there's also some talks that are paid. So a couple of those are there's Deathlock and Tigers with David Kaplan from Death & Co., and Chuck Sarankowski, moderated by my friend Lorraine Hems, who is one of the best people in food and bev in Rochester. She teaches at RIT, but is a great representative, teaches wine education, everything like that. Kind of wanted to throw it to you for a second to talk about Death & Co., because that is one of the like most influential bars in cocktails over the last, 30 years.
Yeah, I mean, Death & Co. is legendary. They're in the middle of their... kind of big expansion push. They're popping up Death & Co.'s all over the country. But they definitely kind of led the charge on defining what exceptional hospitality could be. Mm-hmm. So very, very excited to have them in town. Obviously, you know, that little seminar chat with Chuck, who is, you know, kind of a backbone of the restaurant industry in Rochester, is going to be really cool.
Yeah, and they both graduated from RIT a year apart. So, you know, David actually has, you know, roots being here in Rochester. And it's great to, you know, talk about the two people who've had this influence in different spheres and have them together. That'll be a great time. Speaking of a great time, let's talk about a wholly different experience at Jack's Extra Fancy that night, the Glizzy Prom. Can we talk about what that is and what people should expect?
So Glizzy Prom was just something like at Jack's Extra Fancy, like, we love hot dogs, we love doing different types of hot dogs, and we push, like, on our menu a Chicago hot dog. So with being that we love just like food from Chicago, kind of like went and on that, and it's not traditional, which a lot of people like to tell me, like, hey, your relish is wrong, and I'm like, I know.
It's not neon green.
It's supposed to be, but yeah, we do a celery relish on there to kind of punch the celery flavor a little bit more into it.
But you do maintain your mutual hatred for ketchup.
Every time I get a pork ketchup for a French fry, I die a little inside. So please order mustard.
Ooh, mustard on French fries.
Yes.
Ooh, that'll be great.
Mustard for everything.
People keep telling me I'm crazy for putting mustard on French fries. Like, ketchup is just like sugar paste. Put something. Be an adult.
Tomato gastrique.
Yeah.
Sounds a lot fancier that way, doesn't
it? Yeah.
So do you want people to dress up? Like, wear gowns?
I'm
going to wear a hot dog costume.
Yeah. Definitely, like, if you're feeling a hot dog costume, do it.
Hell yeah.
If you're feeling fancy and you want, like, the three-piece suit, do that too. Like,
hot dog tuxedo.
If you want to finally retire your prom dress, absolutely come ruin it.
Yeah. So,
we have the mustard.
Come in, dance. We're doing a DJ with Delano. And we're also doing, like, a little bit of a hot dog pop-up stand inside. And basically what it is like, you come up, and we're going to have a selection of, like, kind of, like, regional hot dogs.
Nice.
There'll be, like, a hot dog from, like, anywhere from, like, Seattle to...
so much mayonnaise.
Doing the Chicago dog as well. And then we're doing Philly combo, which I didn't know about until doing a lot more research. It is basically a fried fish cake on a hot dog with pepper hash.
Holy cow.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. So
it isn't just cheesesteaks over there.
No.
Cheesesteaks and pretzels, right?
Cheesesteaks and pretzels.
So I guess this is one of their more dying things that they were known about for early on in like late 1800s was when this was created. So
that's awesome.
Taking a little bit of food history and punching it out there and also making feel a little uncomfortable. Have yes. a fish cake with your hot dog. Why not?
Yeah, why not?
Glizzy Prom, making people feel uncomfortable for at least one event.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I'm just looking at the intro. It's join us for the most wiener-filled event of RCR. That's you wrote that, didn't you?
I had some input. So what we also are doing is like for a prom king or queen, we're doing who can fit the most hot dogs inside their mouth at once.
Whoa.
That's how you win.
Whoa.
So, and the stakes are high, you know, so.
Yeah.
Start stretching.
And apparently some of the glizzies.
How many can you fit?
Oh, that's a secret.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I haven't tried. How
yeah. I don't think I've ever tried. The only time I've seen anybody try was like Slimer on Ghostbusters.
That's true. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
it.
That feels like an unfair advantage.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, he's already dead.
Like. Yeah, he could stretch.
You got to really work on your translucence, Chris.
Yeah. Translucence, eating actual hot dogs. That's also a
slimy,
thing I should do.
Sliminess. General sliminess. Yeah. yeah.
General sliminess.
And well, speaking of general sliminess, let's talk about Dave Arnold in Cocktail Chemistry. Shout out to one of my absolute favorite people in the cocktail industry, Dave Arnold. Every year he's come to Rochester, I try to go to his event. I listen to his podcast. It's one of the best shows. If you want to dive into food and drink nerdery at the highest level of nerdery, you can go into something. Dave Arnold's your person. And supposedly Donnie Clutterbuck's coming back for this to hang out with Dave Arnold. And when we're talking about one of the most influential people in food and beverage of the last 20 years, Dave Arnold is near the top of that list. Pushing a lot of new techniques and really revolutionizing a lot of different things in the industry. If you have the time, go to this event. If you have trouble listening to people talk at fast speeds, you will miss a lot of things. If you're not used to listening to podcasts at 2x speed, you're going to miss a lot of things because Dave Arnold talks really fast and it's great. You'll learn about clarifying things, probably learn about countertop centrifuges, and a lot of other stuff as well. So speaking of other events, the Cocktails and Cameras on the Promenade with City magazine, that's on the 7th at 6:30. All the events that are paid, you can go to Eventbrite or off of RCR's website to order. You'll have links to all that stuff. So this is combination with Cinestill, which does film. So we have a very vibrant photography scene here in Rochester. Shout out to our sister podcast, Behind the Glass, talking to all the photographers in town. So this is a great opportunity to go out, take some pictures on the bridge over in High Falls, and really just, Riverway Promenade. All right, maybe I'm wrong. Genesee Riverway Promenade, not the High Falls thing.
Yeah, that thing is still under construction, I think.
Yeah, don't go there. You might fall into the gorge.
Yeah,
that
please
would be
don't
bad.
Do that. It'll be a gorgeous view as you fall. But.
Oh, boo.
The promenade is right next to the Rochester City Skate Park.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Thank you. I'm glad I actually read
it. Aqueduct.
Yeah. Because I remember last year's event. I'm like, I'm tying to last year's thing. So that'll be a great time. Obviously, get to hang out with the people from City and be around some really cool photographers. Shout out Steve Carter.
Yeah, somehow there'll be like 18 photographers, but still I won't get a photo.
I love that. I honestly love that. It's like you're invisible.
Thank you, Chris. But yeah.
You gotta wear flashier clothes, man.
Have Do you I? Checked to see if you're a vampire?
Yeah, maybe.
Like they tried to take
mirrors.
A picture.
Yeah. You did invite me in before, so that's why I'm here. So,
so speaking of bad endings and bad ideas, let's talk about for Network TV Live at Bar Bad Ending. So this is one of the secondary events as part of this. It's great that Bar Bad Ending's doing it, so they're having a Fernet related live audience participation event that's on the 7th at 10 p.m. at Bar Bad Ending. Listen to the interview we did with them on Refined Taste as well. That was a blast. Really cool spot, so check that out. Then talking about a couple of the other Recurring events, the Spirit Tasting Spectacular at the Metropolitan Building on Saturday at 11. If you happen to be doing what I'm doing on Saturday, which is going to the Spirit Tasting Spectacular and then to the Rochester Real Beer Week event at Red Wing Stadium, please use the spit buckets again. Try to taste everything you can. It's a long day.
Also, just in case, call an Uber.
Yeah. That's a really good idea.
Yeah.
Bring your own spit bucket. BYOSB.
Do not spit in Uber.
That is frowned upon, I think, is the technical term.
That's going
to
come with a cleaning cost, probably.
Like, if you got to do it in at the Red Wing Stadium, the bucket has to be, like, less than, like, 8 by 10 or something like that. So, just... that's
so,
a purse joke.
Yeah, and if you do want to, taste a ton of things, it's a great opportunity. There's tons of different vendors, so this is an awesome opportunity to learn. If you don't know a lot about different things, you'll try something you will now find you're going to like, and then you can talk to places, hey, do you have something like this? You can go talk to them, hey, do you have something that tastes like this, or a cocktail that goes in this direction? It opens up these conversations that can be really interesting and fun for people that love to dive deep. And I know tasting a lot of things is a great opportunity to learn how to make cocktails as well.
Yeah, for sure. It's a very valuable, opportunity to, broaden your palate.
And speaking of learning history, Robert Simonson's back on Saturday at 2 PM at Martine this year, versus at Good Luck. He's one of, the U.S.'s most prominent spirits and cocktail writers, if not the most prominent spirit and cocktail writers. He has a new book out talking about martinis, so this is a great opportunity to learn about all the history around that, and gives a nice little seminar. You get to taste a few things. Good opportunity to hang out at one of the newer spots in Rochester. Martine over in the South Wedge over on South Ave in the former Cheshire location over there. And I've gone to a lot of those. It's a great time. But let's talk about another event over at Jack's Extra Fancy. This is Nickel City Fancy on Saturday night at 9 p.m. with a former Rochester bar stalwart.
Saturday night we have the crew from Nickel City in Austin, Texas, stopping by Jack's Extra Fancy. They're going to be running the show, led by our old friend Dan Brennan. Dan was a bartender, bar manager for a long time in Rochester. He's a great hospitality personality, and you know, he stops home every so often. He stopped in Jack's a couple weeks after we opened and was very, very excited to come to a little takeover and said, hey, well, we just got offered an invite to RCR. You wanna come play then? So we knew he'd be home that week anyway, and they're going to drive up with a whole crew and some interesting ideas, some cool things to taste.
Oh, that's going to be amazing. I miss Dan, actually. I haven't seen him in so long.
He's another guy with a always had a tremendous beard, that guy.
At one point, Dan Brennan, myself, Jake Rackaman, and I think there was 4 or 5 other Rochester bartenders that looked like Russian nesting dolls. We're always, you know, back in the day, all the cocktail bartenders back then dressed the same all the time. So it was either a band shirt or a vest and a tie, and you could stack us up. And
I don't think Jake Rackavan was the smallest of the dolls.
No, he was the big one.
Shout out to Jake over there. So that'll be fun. It's always nice to see Dan and doing something different. And I saw they're using Lost Irish Whiskey. This is another great recommendation. If you want to buy an Irish whiskey at a reasonable price and don't want to buy the mainline stuff, buy Lost Irish Whiskey. It tastes good and doesn't just taste like generic Irish whiskey at basically the same price as anything else you're buying. Buy something that actually tastes good, please.
Yeah, Lost Irish is a really cool showcase of the skill of blending different cask finishes. It's finished in, I believe, 6 different casks spread across the world, and you know, they've done a really good job of using that as a great mellowing agent. So it's really soft, like gentle, but still robust, robust up front, and kind of finishes very, very nicely. So
I remember tasting it for the first time. One of my friends sampled to me without knowing what the price point was. And I'm like, oh, I don't know, $40 to $50? He's like, $25. I'm like, oh, gotcha. This is the best buy on the market for Irish whiskey at this point, which is really exciting. Do you have any specific food that's going on that night? Or is that
So with it being Nickel City and kind of like Buffalo Bills themed, which their bar very much is Buffalo Bills forward, we'll be doing a bunch of buffalo chicken wings, doing our smash patty, and just doing mostly we have pretty similar menus, so we're not going too far off book. And they'll probably be doing an all-day breakfast sandwich too, they also do. So
that's perfect for that kind of event.
Yeah.
Can we talk about breakfast sandwiches for a second?
Absolutely.
Breakfast sandwiches are serious business. I know all of us have, like, at some point written a roundup on breakfast sandwiches, talked about our preferences. What is your ideal breakfast sandwich so we can all yell at you for not doing what we like the most?
We will not yell at you. Just tell us.
Well, so one of my favorite that's actually a snack is to basically do almost kind of like a take on a McDonald's breakfast sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
So either we don't always have like sausage, like pork sausage made in house. Mm. I usually do our house cured bacon, sear that on the flat top, do a round egg, you know, it tastes better when it's round.
And
then some cheddar cheese and on an English muffin. So
nice.
It's very simple. So.
But it's there's something to be said for simplicity with these things if everything's right.
Yeah.
Because that's like Chris, do you have an ideal breakfast sandwich when you're talking about this stuff?
Yeah, almost always. Like you said, round egg. I actually just bought some egg rings so I could do this.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I need a hard roll. I want a hard roll, a round egg, a bunch of sauteed onions, or just like grilled up onions, and either I'm going to put lox on it, or I'm going to put like a mushroom spread on it with some sort of like dill cream cheese.
Ooh, that sounds fun. Really savory.
Yes.
But going away from the pork products.
Yeah. Well, you know, Jewish.
Yeah. one of those things.
Yeah.
What about you, Dario? Do you have one?
Yeah. My favorite just harkens back to my days in Brooklyn, you know, hitting up the bodega.
Yes.
And, you know, it's just very basic, hard roll, bacon, egg, cheese. That's it.
Yeah.
And then you just put it in the tinfoil and some kind of magic happens with inside that. And so when you open it back up in your apartment, it's just like melted and cheesy.
Yeah, I guess
to
marinate inside
Would you say it's magic in your mouth, maybe?
Yeah.
I love a callback.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what's really funny? I saw a license plate that had like BEC. SPK on it, and like I looked at it, I was like, he's from New York.
Nice. You guys, you've done like a chopped cheese or something before or no?
We have a chopped chicken hoagie on our menu.
Yeah
So that is a little bit of just reining into the bread texture of like a Philly cheesesteak hoagie, but doing from the first restaurant job I ever had, which was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, we did a chopped chicken and doing just like a red wine vinegar heavy like sub dressing on there.
Oh, fun.
And then a little bit of provolone cheese, which is, I think, still to this day, like one of my favorites, just go to. So keep it a little bit simple, but also that nice filling, like, I don't know, almost kind of like your corner establishment. You can go and get your favorite item that you like on the menu. So,
yeah.
Well, and I think also bringing the acid in there too, you know, not just savory on savory on savory.
Mm-hmm.
You need that pop of, you know, a pickled thing or a dressing like that to keep that intrigue going as you finish out. And speaking of finishing out, let's talk about the Barroom Battle Royale. I'm not sure if you guys remember the time that you judged the Barroom Battle Royale.
We remember the beginning of it.
Vaguely.
That was fantastic.
But that's over at Radio Social the last day. That's Sunday at 5 o'clock. This is just, this is a finale that everybody goes to. You know, there's a speed competition making cocktails. You've got live soundtrack DJing. You've got lots of tastings. And it's just such a lively event. It's just an absolute blast. So go out to that at Radio Social on the last day.
Yeah, let me just say, that's like this whole week of events. It's all about like collaboration within the community. And there's no other event that like epitomizes that than the throwdown, the battle royale. It's just awesome. Everybody coming together, everyone cheering each other on. It's just so cool to see that community come together. And, it was cool to judge it and be a part of it one time. Yes. That was a good time, right?
Chris? Eventually they'll ask us back.
No, I don't know.
But I don't know what we can do to top what we did. So that's the problem.
You're just going
to
walk in every year with the judge outfits on just in case they want you. Case,
yeah. Absolutely.
Standby. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think what we're going to do is we're going to throw it to Chris with any, do you have any terrible ideas today, Chris?
Yes, I do. So after Cocktail Revival, you still want to get some business in and you're doing great. But like I was just thinking of a couple of things you could do. How about Jack's Extra Fashion, where like on the main corridor, you do a fashion show and the models have to like wear something based on what are the drinks or the food pieces on the menu.
Yeah, I like that.
Also, they need to drink the drink before they do the runway.
And then eat turn. The food, too, and right? Yes. Yeah, so yes. If it's like a chicken wing-ass feel, you have to be eating the wings.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Completely covered in sauce.
Or, absolutely. Or the smash burger, just sauce running down absolutely. Everywhere. Yeah.
So I'm going to say
sloppy and sexy.
Yeah, sloppy sexy.
Sexy. Better than baby oil.
That's a positive sound for that one.
Thumbs so, up. Jack's Extra, it's a drag show.
Okay.
Nice.
I mean, this place, you know, Jack's Extra Fancy, you got those popping colors. I think this works perfectly for a drag show. We've got so many famous drag performers here in Rochester. I think we can, like, just set this off.
Yeah.
Just an idea. And my last idea, two words, kilt night. Like you've already got the plaid background anyway. Like just say, like if a guy comes in, he's wearing a kilt or a skirt or whatever, not wearing pants, but still covered. $2 off of a drink.
Ooh, I do like that, especially work, yeah. With the plaid. Yeah. I think you have to match somewhat.
Yeah, you got to match somewhat, but like I'm not going to shade anybody if they're coming in with like a light plaid or something like that. Like also, I don't own this place, so I have no say in this. If you
can find a kilt in the pattern of the dining room floor, you're more than welcome to wear that as well.
Absolutely.
How many kilts do you have, Chris?
I only have one, actually. It's just by some miracle of nature, I still fit it.
Yeah.
I've had that thing for 20 years. I got this specifically because I am obsessed with Samuel L. Jackson, but then when I got it, I actually got it in Scotland, and I actually had to look up my family history to get the right tartan, and I had a choice of two, and I got the darker one. Because the lighter one looked like the Burberry like logo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing. Now I kind of want the Burberry logo tartan, but whatever.
Speaking of extra fancy, Chris. So the other thing before we finish off, I do want to say if you're interested in learning more about the Rochester Cocktail Revival, so we only touched on a very small selection of the events. There's over 80 events this year. Go to RochesterCocktailRevival.com to look into all of the events that are going on. There's a ton of pairing dinners. Like Dan was talking about, it's a great experience going to these pairing dinners. You really get to see the combination of great bartenders, great kitchens working together to make something exceptional for you. So if you, one of your favorite restaurants is on there, go support them when they're doing these really cool things. You can order all of those tickets ahead of time on Eventbrite. But all the links are on RochesterCocktailRevival.com with the schedule. So you can look at all the different days. Make sure you go out to a bunch of stuff. This is one of the great events every year in Rochester. So as we're closing out, talk a little bit more about Jack's. Again, where can people go find it? Anything else that people need to know about Jack's Extra Fancy?
Yeah, in addition to the Rochester Cocktail Revival website, you can get all the tickets to the Jack's events at jacksextrafancy.com. Or shoot us an Instagram, Facebook message. We are very, very responsive. We have a crew standing by.
Operators.
Not my job.
Yeah. We're ready to believe you.
I can't wait to get wasted and just like send you a bunch of messages at 3 in the
morning.
Hey,
Jacks.
Jacks.
How fancy are you now?
Somebody else will not sleep.
You up? Yeah. Hey, Jacks, you up?
Yeah, we've got our good friend and excellent coworker, Baby Boy the God, and that's Dejan Kiner, is representing Jacks at the Barroom Battle Royale.
Excellent. So, nice. I can't wait.
Baby Boy.
Can't
wait. Is, yeah.
Yeah.
Way excited. More than our bar bag. He's a very skilled bartender and a great guy who will be moving down to Nashville shortly after RCR this year. So
damn.
This certainly won't be his last RCR, I'm sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So otherwise, yeah, you can go to go over on Atlantic, visit Jack's Extra Fancy, and that's Thursday through Sunday every week right now.
Through Sunday, brunch Saturday and Sunday.
Yep, 11 to 2 for brunch. So
nice, yeah. Patio. Nice,
yeah.
Patio.
Thank you.
It's going to be nice on Sunday. Just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a great place to hang out, and I can get there from an under 5 minutes door to door, which is awesome. So before we close out, Refined Taste Boys, a little bit of plugs. How can people find Refined Taste?
Refined Taste is that you could find us on Instagram at Refined Taste Rock. You know, all our podcasts are on Spotify, Apple, everywhere you listen to your podcasts. We got an event coming up. Can we plug that?
Please.
Okay.
Yes. Crispy Comedy.
Crispy Comedy is coming up the 30th at Crisp Rochester. Past guest, friend of the show. Great spot. Food and drinks will be available all night. We have a fantastic lineup of comedy, including Chris and I doing jokes.
Yes.
Not together, but separately.
No. We do synchronized jokes now.
That's right. We both do our sets at the same time.
Yeah.
But you just got to pay attention to one of us. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah.
Got to refine your hearing.
That's right. Yeah. And then, we got some other stuff in the works. Follow us everywhere.
Yeah. And you can get Chris Kranz of Non.
Yes.
On all the social medias. Great to follow Chris with everything he's doing. Also go to lunchador.org to follow all of the shows on Lunchador.
Don't follow mine. Though. You're just plugging Chris's Instagram.
Yeah. Like, you already did Refine Taste.
My Instagram is just Chris, like politics and plug cat mine. Stuff.
Plug.
Go to, if you want to hear some good quality stuff, go to at Dardar Stinks on Insta. look up Dario Joseph.
Dardar Stinks.
If you're on Facebook. Are you on Threads?
And, Threads? No.
What about on Twitter? Like, I got rid of my Twitter.
So. Dario Party 64.
Dario Party 64. There you go. Oh, I love that. Thank you. Yeah, the man is hilarious. He just had an album that was like, it was badass.
So fun.
Yeah.
If you haven't already listened to it, go listen to it. You know, grab it on iTunes or somewhere else. It is a blast.
Yeah, no, thank you so much. You guys were there.
Yes, I
appreciate that. It's been out for 2 months. People are still listening to it. I don't know why.
But number one, bro.
Yes, like, it was on iTunes. Yes. No, it's awesome. I got a bunch of shows coming up, so I'd love to see some local people coming out to shows. It'd be fantastic. I got all new material talking about my baby, you know. Yes. Roasting that little dick.
Two months of roasting. I can't wait. Yeah. I'm so looking forward to this.
Yeah. No, he's awesome. Just kidding.
Yeah. He still can't talk, though. So, I mean, you can still talk shit about him.
Yeah. But he knows.
And speaking of knowing, we'll see you at Rochester Cocktail Revival.
We are.
Thanks for listening to the Food About Town podcast. If you aren't already subscribed, what are you waiting for? Go to your podcast app of choice and make us your favorite podcast by subscribing and leaving a review if you can. Music for the podcast was created by the fabulous Taurus Savant. You can hear more of his work at taurussavant.bandcamp.com and make your presence known by seeing him perform live. Food About Town is a proud member of the Lunchador Podcast Network. Oh no, here comes McKenneth!
This has been a presentation of the Lunchador Podcast Network.